Welcome to On My Walk, reading podcast that helps you capture reading's aha moments and apply them to your life and to your leadership. Today, I'm walking through the pages of John M. Perkins' One Blood, Parting Words to the Church on Race. If you're not familiar with Perkins, Perkins is an 88-year-old soldier of civil rights and racial reconciliation. He's been an advisor to presidents, a tireless worker, an author of many books, and the recipient of 14 honorary doctorates. And One Blood is, in his words, his most earnest attempt to put down in writing the principles he believes to be vital to a complete ministry of reconciliation. I'll post a review of One Blood to the On My Walk website, but I'm just a little behind as I owe you a review for Essentialism by Greg McKeown. And I also want to write a review to the novel, which has now been made into a movie, Red Sparrow by Jason Matthews. But today, I want to share with you my aha moment. And it comes from Perkins' book, but it has to do with a quote that Perkins gives us from William Pinnell, professor emeritus at Fuller Theological Seminary in Pasadena, California, and the author of The Coming Race Wars, A Cry for Reconciliation. And Perkins, borrowing from Pinnell, is going to talk about the ugliest four-letter word. Listen to what he says.
William Pannell said in one of his sermons that the ugliest four-letter word in the English vocabulary is them. It's a word that separates and divides. It's important that we know their names. It's really hard to dislike someone you pray for regularly. One of the most important things we can do to move the cause of reconciliation forward is to pray for the brothers and sisters who we have been separate from. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy." But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. Matthew chapter 5, verses 43 through 45.
Now, if we trace Perkins' argument throughout the book, we can see why he borrows the expression, the ugliest four-letter word. For starters, Perkins notes, God created only one race, the human race. Now, I posted that statement on my social media sites, and I received immediate reaction. One person asked, "But didn't God change that at the Tower of Babel?" To which I, borrowing from Perkins, replied, "No, he did not. The Tower of Babel gave us languages and cultures and ethnic groups and a scattering of those whose pride wanted to make a name for themselves, but not race. One race is the teaching of Scripture." Now let's trace this briefly throughout the Scriptures. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, "Let us make man in our image." Malachi 2:10 says, "Do we not all have one Father?" Acts 17:26, Paul says, "He made from one man every nation." In Colossians 3:11, he writes, "There is no distinction when it comes to people." Now, this is not only the teaching of the Scriptures, but it's also the teaching of biology, as one person commented on my Facebook site, and also which Perkins points out in his book, One Blood. And Perkins says, "The Human Genome Project showed that every human being, get this, is 99.9% identical in genetic makeup." Perkins also quotes Dave Unander in his book, Shattering the Myth of Race, Genetic Realities in Biblical Truths, in which he argues that race is mostly a social theory, and I quote, "devised and refined over the centuries to serve the economic and religious goals of a majority culture, first in Europe and then in America." Now, I could share a lot more about one race, but I want to encourage you to pick up Perkins' book and read it for yourself. It is so rich and so deep. Now, for our purposes, though, what we need to understand is that as the ideas of race take root, it can create an us-them mindset. Hence, them, the ugliest four-letter word. And them is why Billy Graham noted back in the 1950s and Martin Luther King Jr. echoed from that jail cell in Birmingham, Alabama in the 60s, "Sunday at 11 a.m. in America is still the most segregated of times." Them is why Perkins's "Just as the Berlin Wall was torn down brick by brick, we must all work together to tear down the walls of suspicion and racism and hatred that have divided us." And he adds, you know, if we've been intentional about building these walls up, then we have to be even more intentional about tearing them down. "Them" is why Albert Tate, lead pastor of Fellowship Church in Monrovia, California, says at their church, "We believe we should, quote, just be now who we will be in the end." And what will we be in the end? Well, John gives us that picture, and this is that to which Albert Tate's referring. In Revelation 7, 9 to 10, John says this, "After this I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" And because that day is coming, we need to eliminate "them," the ugliest four-letter word, from our vocabulary, because there will be no us, them at that time. And this is so important for me as a member of the majority culture, because those of us who are a part of the majority culture can forget that Jesus was one of them, that he was actually quite different from me. I appreciate immensely what Pastor Ephraim Smith says in Outreach magazine, and Perkins had quoted this. Pastor Smith said, "The Son of God, Alpha and Omega, was multi-ethnic, multicultural. In the family tree of Jesus were the indigenous inhabitants of Israel, Palestine, Ethiopia, Egypt, the Sudan, Libya. And if that's true, we need to present it. We need to remember it. But we've reduced him," Pastor Smith writes, "we've reduced him from that. In our culture, we have made Jesus look like whoever we are instead of who he is. We've made him white, Western, European, Democrat, Republican, urban, handsome, comfortable." That is so good and so enlightening, and how easy it can be for those of us who are a part of the majority culture to become blind to the fact that Jesus really was one of quote-unquote them, if I'm going to use that kind of language. And it reminds me, I've got to drop that ugly four-letter word from my vocabulary. And not simply drop it from my vocabulary, but drop it from my mindset of thinking, because it's not right. Well, as I noted in yesterday's podcast, Perkins concludes his work with these words, "My prayer is for God to hasten the day when every church in America is a multicultural church. Until then, every one of us has a crucial part to play in this story of reconciliation. I know what my part is. I will preach the biblical message of reconciliation until he calls me home." I love those words. "I know what my part is," Perkins writes. And for my part, I can say, I know what my part is as well. It's drop the ugliest four-letter word from my vocabulary. To continue to engage in that incredibly important work of racial reconciliation, and pray for those who are also engaged until that day when we all recognize and live as one blood. Well, that's my thought on my walk with John M. Perkins in his final manifesto, One Blood. Now, what you do with it, that's for you to work out on your walk through life.